Okay, item B, Gisborough Way, Loughborough.
Thank you, Chair. This application comes before you due to the complexity of the history of the site, the level of public interest, and because the previous scheme was presented to committee. The application is outline that seeks approval of access, appearance, layout and scale. The only matter that is reserved is landscaping. Oops. This shows the site at the corner of Gisborough Way and Byland Way. So you can see them on the site there, and the site is edged red here. Shows the aerial view of the site. So if we move on to the actual pictures of the site, you can see here, this is taken from Byland Way. So that's the property on Gisborough Way that would be nearest to it. The other ones on here are on Byland Way, which we'll see on a further picture. And the site is obviously a corner plot, which has now been fenced off and is growing, obviously left to grow. This site shows that from the other way, so this is from Gisborough Way, so that's the side end property on Byland Way, and you'll see again that there's no windows in elevation there, or for that matter on the previous property on that other corner, other than at low level behind the hedging. This shows the site layout for the proposed 1.5 storey three bedroom unit on the site. It's including an integral garage, and you can see the access point is from Byland Way as shown here, coming in off Byland Way. The site is situated here with a large area left around here, which would provide for some amenity value by way of either being open or through landscaping scheme. Of course, that matter is yet to be determined and is reserved for another application. This shows the floor plans and elevations for the property. So the front elevation onto Byland Way for this 1.5 storey building would show dormers with roof space in use. And you can see on the floor plans that there's a bedroom here with then a lounge and a kitchen, and then two further bedrooms at upper floor level. The rear of the property only provides for obscure glazed windows and small ones at that for the ensuite facilities within the bedrooms. In terms of the elevations, this would be the elevation which you would see onto Gisborough Way, and that is the elevation that would be on the side of the property on Byland Way. So in terms of the issues for consideration, the site is within limits to development of Loughborough and is a small parcel of land situated amongst residential uses. It's therefore considered to be in a sustainable location and would make effective use of the land and is therefore acceptable in principle. In terms of loss of open space and amenity land, you'll be aware that from the planning history in the report that the previous reasons for refusal have been noted on past history for development on this site, and that there is local objection to the proposal with reference to the concerns that the site was originally set aside as open space for the benefits of the community. However, the policy context and other material considerations are considered to have changed. Policy EV18 of the old local plan has not been saved, and the site is not identified as formal open space with policy protection and is fenced off and can be fenced off using the permitted development regulations and would not need planning permission for such fencing. There appears to be no legal basis and no obligation for the public open space to be provided from the planning history, and therefore the policy context has changed to a large degree in this respect. The proposal has also been considered against policy CS15 of the core strategy, and this policy requires retention of open areas unless it is surplus to requirements. In the immediate locality of the estate, it is considered there is accessible amenity open space provision in natural open space, and open spaces can, of course, perform more than one function. In addition, and critically, the site does not involve the loss of a formal area of public open space, and accordingly, it is considered unreasonable to require the provision of replacement facilities. Accordingly, on balance, it is considered acceptable for the site to be developed. In respect of design and the character of the area, it is considered, having regard to the policy context provided by policies CS2 and EV1, that it is acceptable and that the footprint and the scale of the proposed dwelling would be of similar to neighbouring properties. Whilst the area has been open to date, it is considered the dwelling can be provided that would not appear cramped or represent overdevelopment of the site or cause detrimental impact on visual amenity. And subject to the condition which is in the report regarding the position of the boundary treatment and the space to be provided so as to keep the proposal in keeping with the design and layout of the estate, it is considered that the development would be acceptable in this regard. In terms of neighbour amenity, we've touched on the closest properties being at 6 Gisborough Way and 5 Byland Way. Because of the positioning and orientation of the proposed dwelling and its height, it is not considered, for the reason set out in the report, that the proposal is acceptable. It's considered that the proposal is acceptable, subject to condition controlling the provision of new openings in the development that would not be allowed and would not cause undue impact on neighbours. This includes in relation to the garden spaces of those neighbouring properties. In respect of highway safety, in relation to this matter, the Highway Authority has not objected subject to conditions, and the proposal accords with the Six Seas guidance with respect of access and parking and parking standards. And so it is not considered that severe impact would be caused. In terms of loss of landscaping and impact on ecology, it's noted that there has been concern of loss of small trees previously on the site, but the site did not benefit from formal protection and could be removed. The site, as I said, can be fenced under permitted development, and there is no evidence for the presence of protected species. In terms of other issues in the report, reference is made to whether the site could be compulsorily purchased, but the Local Planning Authority must consider the suitability of the proposal before it, having regard to the development plan and other material considerations. Any compulsory purchase process is separate to the proposal and would require a separate judgment. Accordingly, and in conclusion, for the reasons set out in the report, it is considered that the application should be recommended for approval subject to conditions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We have two speakers, David Parish, an objector, and Councillor Smith, ward councillor. Mr. Parish.
Thank you, Chairman, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I'm a resident on Gisborough Way, very close to this patch of land, and I'm here to represent my neighbours and the other people who would be affected by this development. We are very strongly and unanimously against this development and request that you reject it for the reasons I'm going to try and go into. I think that Councillor Smith may pick up on some of the points if I run out of time. This is a very complex process, and you've rejected the proposal on a number of occasions for various reasons, and the officers have now suggested that some of those reasons have changed. To understand the situation, I think we're going to have to go back to the original planning design of the original estate before any houses were built. And to do this, I've been to the council with the relevant officer and indeed with Councillor Max Hunt, who's been very helpful in this process, helping me understand what's going on, to look at the archive relating to the original proposed development. When the plans were sent out for consultation, a group called the Loughborough Urban Forum, who I'm told are an influential group and understand sort of planning issues, i.e. not partisan people like myself, raised some objections, one of which was the estate contained no local areas of open space for the use particularly of young children. Now, those that know the area will know it's near Stonebough Washlands, etc. So there's lots of open space there, but it's not suitable for young children to play on. And the point was that there had to be some local areas of open space. A revised plan was put forward, which included this package of land as open space for that purpose. Now, I know I'm not allowed to give out documents, but I'm going to have to read from one. I did request this to be put on the web, but I don't think the council officers have done that. In revising the proposal, the developer's agent, a company called SGP, and I'm told this would be an agent by Max Hunt, wrote that the developers had agreed to a number of things, one of which they've called placement. space, and they talk about adding four areas of space, and at the end, the last sentence, and I read it verbatim, says, these areas are to be adopted by Charnwood Borough Council and will not be equipped. Now, Max assures me that that statement would only have been written if there was a clear understanding between the developers and the council that that land was to be adopted. He tells me that that might not be in writing, it may have been verbally or by a telephone call, but it was absolutely clear that that land was to be open space in perpetuity for young, and indeed for young children to play on. Now, because of that, we've had this situation where... I should explain that what seems to have happened after that is the trail goes cold. There's nothing else in the archive that I can find that says what happens next. This letter was written to a planning officer, and I can only assume it was expected to be adopted and to become part of the planning legislation. What appears to have happened is that that legislation wasn't put in to the planning requirements. Now, I've spoken with the relevant officer recently, and her view was that that was probably an oversight. It wasn't a change of policy or anything like that. I see nothing that indicates that the Loughborough Urban Forum's requirements are no longer valid. It looks as though it was an oversight, and this requirement was not made part of the legislation for the planning permission. As such, the site was not protected, although it was looked after for a number of years by the developer, and indeed has been used by the community until it's been fenced off. Young children did indeed play there. The community, for example, had a Jubilee party for the Queen's Jubilee in 2012, so it has been used for its intended purposes. I would therefore suggest that the suggestion from the officers that there was that the land was never offered to the council is actually an error. Clearly it was offered right at the time the estate was planned, but if for some reason it was never taken up and never developed. There's also a suggestion from the officers that the original planning requirement, which if I've got this correctly, was EV/18, that probably means something to you but not me, is superseded by CS15 and therefore it's no longer relevant. Max's comment to me is that that relates to the provision of specific open space, and an important point of this is that whilst the officers say it's a tiny open space, that's deliberately so. It's for young children to play safely on. It's bounded on four sides by two sides by houses, one side by road with houses the other side, so therefore very safe for very young children to play on. The other space that's mentioned just doesn't meet that requirement. It's either Stonebow washlands with lakes nearby, or it's open space with trees at the end and public highways that just wouldn't be safe for young children to play on. So there is another point which I think I'll have to leave for Councillor Smith to come on to about the need for this development. But in summary, I'd like to suggest that a wrong has been made to the council taxpayers in that area by the council not actually developing the plans to specify this as open space, and I request that you reject the proposal. Thank you. Sorry, I ran over 2 minutes.
That's okay. Thank you. Councillor Smith.
Thank you. Firstly, I'm grateful for David Parish for all the detail. He's put the flesh on the bones. I can only summarise what I'm seeing. And that is, this area was always intended by the planning department as an amenity open space, and it was always intended to protect it as such. And it was identified as such on the plans as POS. And that is the expectation on which residents purchased their houses both then and now. Building on this site has twice been turned down, and I quote, as the site functions as an open space of special character, as it was designated to be a visually attractive landscaped area of open space for wider appreciation, it's been twice turned down. It could and still should be that attractive landscaped area. The adoption of the core strategy brought with it over 3,000 extra houses to this corner of Loughborough. It did, however, remove the presumption in favour of building elsewhere. It should give us a stronger case to turn this down than on the previous two occasions. Last October, when discussing this with the planning officer, there was no suggestion that their views for refusal had changed. Nor prior to the publication of the agenda for this meeting, had any indication been given that they now recommend acceptance of the proposal. It came as a shock. When the land was last sold, it was again described as public open space, and that was always the intention. This is an example of planning creep. It shows how the intention of the planning department, when giving original approval to the estate, has been ignored. And it shows how how the reasonable expectations of the residents are being ignored. There could also be calls on the space to provide a play area for the very young children, which is presently lacking. As stated, there isn't anywhere suitable close by. And once this has gone, it has gone forever. This application should be refused. Thank you.
Thank you. Got one speaker at the moment. Nobody else? Mr. Kempsall.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'd just like to back up everything that the objectors have mentioned. Back in 1993, this council gave permission for 150 dwellings to be built around that area with the intention of leaving that little green space. A couple of years later, we gave permission for 27 houses and bungalows, and still that space was left. I've known that space all my life. That space gave it a village green feel. Residents used that space several times a year, some years when weather was nice, to do, have events and sort of thing. Kids played their cricket, there were football in there, little ones, because it was safe. Officers have mentioned that the stone boat washrooms could be used, but as we saw this afternoon, there's teenagers there smoking, kids 16 and 17. It's not safe for little ones to go there, without supervision. The other green space, as Councillor Luke Smith mentioned, is at the end of Gisborway, and it's called Garrendon Park. We've just given permission for 3,500 houses to be built on that. This little space of land there was the only bit of space these people had to look at and play on, So I think it should be left as an open space and this council should buy it. Thank you.
Councillor Bentley.
Okay, well, really what I want to know is what is the position? Is it a case that this should have been adopted or not adopted?
Thank you. Through you, Chair. This is an area of what we call incidental open space, which was originally planned for as part of the planning application for the wider estate. I think I'm pretty clear in my mind it was always the intention that this would be retained in perpetuity for the benefit of local residents. I think the difficulty is that when the application was originally approved way back in the early 90s, no provision was made for its transferal through to the Borough Council. These days we have legal agreements. Members will be aware of Section 106 agreements which provide for that conveyance so that land can be offered to the Borough Council and adopted if an appropriate maintenance sum is provided, or alternatively if it's outside of Loughborough it can be transferred to a parish or a town council, or indeed if neither the parish or the borough council wants it, it gets transferred to a community land trust and it's maintained in that way. But back in 1993, I think it was, it's my belief, it was a gentleman's agreement that the developer would transfer it to the borough council. Now, in the passage of time, I understand that the developer has been maintaining this land for the benefit of residents right up until the last few years. 2013, at which point it's reviewed its land holdings, not just in Loughborough but elsewhere, Mount Sorrel and other places in the borough, and has decided to sell these pieces of land to the highest bidder. At the end of the day, the land's been bought by a private individual, and they can fence this piece of land off and deny anybody the opportunity to access that that piece of land, and indeed a fence has gone up. So we are where we are. What we're dealing with here is a legacy of decision-making from the early 1990s. You know, we've looked very carefully at what the planning position is and what the position is in law, and that is the position that we've set out in the report for you all to consider tonight.
Anything further?
Well, thank you for that, but it doesn't make making a decision on this any easier whatsoever. I'm not going to propose it. Either way, I'm going to let somebody else do that, because I really won't. I think this is an awful position that we're in. We shouldn't be in this position. And I think that the people, the residents of that area, deserve to have it as green space.
Councillor Smidovich.
It obviously, those lovely words, gentlemen's agreement, there probably aren't too many gentlemen around anymore. But I find it quite sad that custom and practice, I would have thought custom and practice also had has some bearing in this. And I'm going back a few years. We had something similar with land that had been fenced off and a similar situation. And I don't know, there's just something that I would have thought, it was a gentleman's agreement then, that were we not offered first opportunity by the developer if he was going to sell it off? Surely that must have come through us again if they were selling land to somebody. I don't know, but it bothers me that we could have these little packages all over the place. And you know, if we are in that situation, then we need to look at it for the future. But the custom and practice and expectations of the residents, and going back, that was the expectation then, and fine, it wasn't put in on paper, because at that time, it wasn't necessary to put it on paper. So I'm not making a proposal.
I think anybody's going to make a proposal at the moment. I did hear earlier, did I hear correctly, that when this was offered for sale by the developer, that it was sold as open space? Did someone? I did hear that, didn't I? Sorry, you shouldn't be passing paper through. Goes to Michael. So it was sold as public open space, and that's what it appears to have been. If that's the case, it sounds to me as though the developer is trying to override that, knowing what's going on in the with the present plans. Okay, we'll carry on. Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Smith-Fish did ask the question, was the council approached at all to purchase this land? And I'm assuming that the answer would be no there, that the developer just went for the highest bid. And if we didn't know it was available, we wouldn't have bidded for it, if that's a word, bidded. Bid, yeah. Therefore, you're just saying it's been sold on as open space, we think. I'm assuming then, again, it's all assumptions, that the planners have looked into this legally and found out where we legally lie with this. Oh, let's answer that one first.
Thank you, through you, Chair. I don't know specifically about this item, whether it was offered to the Borough Council, but I know that the developer concerned has offered other areas of incidental open space on other estates elsewhere in Loughborough and other settlements in the Borough to the Council. And the Council clearly doesn't have a capital programme for you know, purchasing these sites and has declined. I think the issue here is that it has been sold. We have to deal with the application that's before us based on the merits of that application. It's in private ownership. So therefore, committee needs to exercise its mind towards that application that it's got before it, rather than what could have been or what may have been or anything else.
Right, well, therefore, I should be the bad one, then. The one that... Don't do it. I think we've got no option. We are a committee that has to make a decision, whether we like that decision or not. If it's an illegal thing or something that they've done, that will be dealt with, but not by this committee. So, therefore, I will go with officer's recommendation. But It's an awful predicament for me to find myself in, to have to do this, and I'm ever so sorry. And is anybody going to second it?
Do we have a seconder? Councillor Grimley? Right. Okay.
Just on that, Chair, I mean, I'm seconding this. I think, right, we're only here to look at the planning aspect of it. The other matter is any legal matters, covenant or other agreements, aren't something we're here to look at. There is also other legislation separate to planning, I think, that allows community groups to compulsory purchase land and buildings, and I think that's something that the community group may want to look into after the meeting.
Thank you. Councillor Bevington.
Thank you, Chairman. Actually, the points that I was going to make have already been, I think, made by Councillor Seaton and Councillor Grimley. I actually have no idea whether selling a piece of land as open space actually means anything, and we'd need to take a legal matter. So I take the point that has already been made quite well, that we are with a situation where a developer has perfectly legal rights to the land, has decided to develop it, and unless there is something in law to stop him, I don't see that we really have any objections, and I'll be supporting Councillor Seaton's motion, I'm afraid. Not very happy about it. I don't think any of us are, but we have a job to do, and I think we have to do it, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Snart.
Chairman, thank you. I'm sorry, I've got to go back the second time to what's said in the papers. And on B4, starting right at the bottom, this is around delegated powers for the following reasons. And the land is open space as part of a construction of the residential estate. It is the opinion of the local planning authority that the site functions as an open space and special character. I understand that things have changed slightly, but I'm very uncomfortable about letting the residents, after they've seen that in writing, what we're actually trying to do tonight. And I think it would be nice to get just an opinion from our legal representative how we stand with this, because in writing there it says that it's an open space and it tells you that the authority functions an open space special character. Special character is defined in policy EV18, and it goes on quite alarmingly, in my view, about how that should be saved. And it was done by officers, not by this committee. And I just feel that, being as somebody who's bought the land, I'm not of an opinion that we should just actually fall on that. But it would be nice to get a legal view on it in terms of where we stand with this. But I'm really uncomfortable if I see that in writing, and it's from writing from delegated powers previously. I'm really struggling to actually support this.
Thank you. Would you like to comment?
Yeah, well, in terms of is the policy position has changed since the last planning application was put in, and the core strategy has now been adopted, and the planning officers have looked at the new adopted policies and balanced it, the weight of the policies that are now there, and they've come to a different view to the previous officer. It's a it's not a legal point, and I don't mean to put it back to the planning officers, but it's a balancing weight point for the policies that are current, and they've formed a different opinion this time. I'm sorry to put it back to Stephen and Richard, but it's a planning policy, not legal.
Perhaps to you, Chair. Sorry,
Chairman, could I just say, when I was talking about this, it talks about in conflict with policy CS2 and CS15 of the Emerging Childhood Local Plan, Core Strategy 2006-28, Safe Policies EV1, H16, EV18, RT5 of the Borough Childhood Local Plan. Just because somebody's bought it, I find it very difficult to say this is something that we should just do. I have got real issues with this in terms of supporting.
Yes, can we just say that in the document it does actually say that it was presented to the Plans Committee on the 26th of March 2015 following ward referral. The officer recommendation was the application should be approved. Members overturned this recommendation and refused planning permission on the following grounds, which are the grounds that you've just read out. B4. I'm reading B4. Page B4. Site for the erection of two detached dwellings. He's looking at the wrong one. That's even later than that. Okay. Stephen?
I'll try and bring some clarity to the matter. So, Councillor Page was referring to the first application that came in with P14 number in the page B4 of your report and refers to two detached dwellings. And within that, as Councillor Page has referred to, the matter was overturned by committee. The delegated, in terms of the one dwelling, the KWS took the view that in light of the decision by the committee that had some merit at that time and therefore refused it on that basis for similar reasons as set out in the report. In terms of where we are at now, we have done further work and you'll see in page B7 of your report and on the first paragraph of B7 that part of the way down there, I think it's possibly the third sentence, says that further investigations confirm the land does not benefit from any formal protection as public open space under the existing planning permission, etc., etc. So it's the reference to the further investigations along with the removal or the loss of policy EV18 in combination with those two requirements that have led to the situation in which officers feel that they can no longer sustain a reason for refusal on the application.
Thanks, David. Councillor Gerrard.
Thank you, Chair. Could we defer this? It states that it was sold as open land. It's down on paper. Surely this still stands in law that it's sold as open land. So could it be deferred till we actually define open land? Thank you.
I may ask my colleague in legal to chip in here, but firstly I wanted to say that I think what's important to understand is that when a site is sold on, what we're not dealing with here is it may have been understood through the previous planning permission that Mr. Bennett referred to and other people as to the intention of that land, but I'm not aware that the land was sold on with a covenant restricting or with a requirement saying it had to be for future open space. And it seems to me that that is where we're at, that without those provisions, then you're in a situation where, as we know from other developments, people buy land that one time is in countryside, but due to the need to meet housing needs and go through the local plan process, values change and the situations change on sites. And to use that as an analogy, I think this may well be a similar situation on this occasion. So I appreciate the issue raised about the legality, but if it's a covenant, then that would restrict it, notwithstanding the planning permission that you issued today. So you need to deal with it on its merits. Covenants aren't material planning reasons. So you can come to the planning judgment today based on the information before you, and if there was a legal restriction on the site, that would still apply and would prevent the developer from doing it, notwithstanding any approval that might forthcome tonight.
If I may come back, please, Chair. If it's down on paper sold as open space, isn't that legal enough? Thank you.
Yep, well, that would be a land and property matter, and here we're considering the planning, and we're saying that from a planning point of view, there is nothing to protect its planning status as if it ever had an official status as open land. Whether it's been sold, conveyanced, private rights, rights of access, they are legal issues, but they're not related to the planning. Here we're looking at the land use and the policy protection or these legal agreements relating to planning that might protect it, or the conditions on planning permissions, of which we haven't got anything formal. So we're saying there's no planning reason for the planning land use.
Yeah, if I may come back again, that's why I'm asking, could it be deferred to a later date till we know exactly what the legal things are? Thank you.
I think we'll try and take it through tonight first and see what happens. Councillor Tassel.
Looking at the notes, I see that the highways have got no objections to this. I'm rather concerned at the fact that it's on a corner plot. There's two garages, and there's been no landscaping submitted with this planning application. This is when things start to go wrong if it's not kept an eye on. And my concern is if it goes round, with it being on a corner plot, if they've put hedges up, that it will restrict the view both from vehicles coming off of Gisborough Way onto Byland Way and vice versa. I do think that also, if it was deferred, that we should ask for some landscaping on it so that we know exactly what's going to go on that corner, because I'm rather concerned of the traffic going round the corner and meeting two the cars coming off their drive.
Yes, through you, Chair. What I'd have to highlight is that the I note the points on that. If you go to the back of the report, B11, what you will see there is, firstly, condition 2 requires that the development should not commence until approval of the reserve matters has been obtained in writing from the local planning authority, and that relates to landscaping. So that gives the authority the control over how the landscaping could affect the development, and that obviously includes in relation to access. And then furthermore, you can see other conditions that deal with landscaping. So condition 5 says, within 2 months of the commencement of development, the scheme for the treatment of the application site boundary shall be submitted to the planning authority. Condition 7 refers to a whole host of requirements in terms of landscaping scheme that must fulfil certain matters. Again, condition 8 refers to the landscaping scheme being completed in accordance with those details. And condition 10 talks about no vehicle access gates, barriers, or bylaw chains or obstruction shall be erected to the vehicular access. So there's a number of conditions throughout the condition list that allow for the authority to have the appropriate control. I should have mentioned condition 12 as well. I hadn't got that far down when I was replying, but again, condition 12 highlights another restriction in terms of things that could affect the highway. So I think it is covered in the report.
My concern is when we was looking at the site this afternoon, it was pretty open, and there's no splay on Byland Road. It's a complete T-junction. If there's anything put right up to that junction, then it is going to interfere with the site of the road, Gisborough Road. And I'm surprised, really, that the Highways Authority haven't looked at this, because I did notice that the traffic was travelling quite fast along Gisborough Road.
Thank you. Councillor Forrest. Decided not to. Councillor Seaton.
Thank you. Can you just go back to the aerial view of the development, the proposed development, please? That, yes, one with that with the house on it, though. Now, the assumption here is great. You see, I took that line, the straight black line. I assumed that that was the curtilage that would separate the back garden and the side garden from the path of the landscaping. Therefore, I assumed that that would be protecting the visibility. If that's the case, then a part of the... Well, I presume that will come up in the next... Are we? Is it going to you for landscaping?
We would have a further application in relation to the landscaping, and what we would look at, obviously, is that we have the footway going around the development here, but within... on condition 12 sort of deals further with in terms of how the landscaping and how the development should not affect in terms of the visibility side of things. So it would restrict, and we would consult with the Highway Authority when the reserve matter came in to ensure that that the scheme that was provided met the required visibility displays around that corner to their satisfaction.
Thank you. As I say, when I first saw it, I just assumed that that was going to be a fence or a hedge purposely done there so it wouldn't interrupt the visibility of the splay. But therefore, then, in the conditions, it needs to be that that's got to be maintained, even though it will be probably this side of a wall or this side of a fence, etc. That's all I'm concerned about. Thank you. Well, it's not, but there you go.
Okay, thank you. Last speaker, Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Chair. We're all arguing about was it open space or wasn't it? Yes, it was. So if this gets a go-ahead, it's going to change the character of the street scene. It's not in keeping with the other properties because every other property on the corners there are bungalows. That's one and a half storey. So why is that being allowed? It should be a bungalow if it's allowed. And what's to stop them not extending if they want to? You know, I shall vote against it. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, we have a proposal to grant in accordance with the officer's recommendation. Okay, all those in favour? Those against? Abstentions? Right, now then, we have to now propose, or someone's got to propose, that we turn this down.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not actually going to propose that we turn it down. I'm going to take up Councillor Gerrard's suggestion that we defer, because I cannot vote for or against this application because I don't think I have sufficient information that will allow me to come to a reasoned decision. I was on the Plans Committee that turned this application down 2 years ago. I personally can't see any reason why I should change my mind, but I accept that policies have changed and we may be in a different situation. But as I sit here at the moment, I don't know what that situation is. I don't know under what circumstances this land was sold. Was it open space? Well, if it was open space then, it'll be open space now. I really feel that we have not enough information in front of us to make a decision, and I propose that we defer. Thank you.
Anyone second that? Councillor Smidovich. Okay. Right. I think we could go straight to a vote on that rather than do any more speaking.
Could we make sure that when we defer and we do come back, that we do get a ruling on this, why, how it was sold? Because I think this is the crux of the matter, and it's really looking at what I said about the previous that's gone through. It did meet all the policies we've got. It even quotes EVs and such from the local plan. So I think this is the crux of it in terms of knowing what the actual legal bit is. And if it was sold as open space, that's what we should actually uphold, I think.
In other words, if it was sold as open space and has now been change of use, effectively. Right, can we vote on this? All those in favour of deferring? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Against?
2.
Thank you. That's everybody, I think, isn't it? One abstention. Thank you. We have to come back to it again. A future date.